You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Tuesday as we talk all things Wisconsin basketball today, breaking down the win over Marquette and then getting into the beginning of Big Ten play because Indiana, right around the corner at home with the Kohl Center, opens Wisconsin's Big Ten season. That is on Wednesday. We're previewing that as well as, of course, talking the rivalry win over the Golden Eagles. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny. This is the show that brings you all things Wisconsin basketball and football all week long on the Locked On Badgers podcast. Make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify. You can also find us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers. Make sure you follow on Spotify, subscribe on Apple so you never miss a Locked On Badgers episode. Ben, Wisconsin basketball is fun again. 7-1, six wins in a row, 5 wins away from home, a true road win they have on their resume, and then a dominant second half, where they scored 55 points. There were a lot of games last year where this team didn't get to 55. They scored 55 in the second half to beat Marquette 89-76. What a fun time to be a Badger fan.
Dude, the Kohl Center was rocking. I thought I was on hallucinogens on Saturday watching them get close to 100. That's not who they are, but
55
it was remarkable. It was remarkable. And it came from everybody. And we'll get into it, but I watched that game, and throughout the game, I thought, oh, there's Steven Crow makes a big play. Oh, there's Chucky Appert. There's Johnny Davis. It wasn't just your Davis goes insane. Team-wide, like, they were balling out. It's fun. You put it well. This team is just so fun to watch.
Davison, and Hepburn, Ben, combining for 60 points between them. Actually, if you add in Steven Crow, those four combined for 75. Four guys combining for 75 right there for Wisconsin. And with Johnny Davis, Big Ten Player of the Week a week ago, passing the torch on to Brad Davison, Big Ten Player of the Week this week. Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten Freshman of the Week. You sense the theme here. The Big Ten Weekly Awards are loving the Badgers. But with Johnny Davis, Ben, 9 of 14 from the field and a little bit of everything. He really showed everything. Hit the only three he took, had one of the filthiest ISO buckets I think he's had in his whole career, a little behind-the-back step-back gather, where he broke somebody's ankles and hit a mid-range jumper, had one of the best kickout passes I've ever seen him make, where he was doubled and found a weak side shooter, perfect one-handed pass out of the double team in the post to find a shooter for a three. Wisconsin didn't even need Tyler Wall's offense in this game. He only went 2 of 9 from the field, Ben. And the bench
he still had that weird late-game bucket. He always has one. Where he had a little scoop.
Was it that post move that took an hour? Was it that one?
It was one, and then he had that weird just little like scoop up. I don't know. He always gets weird buckets, but they go in.
He does. It's funky. It's fresh, but it works. Wisconsin's bench didn't need much from them, and I think it's interesting that Wisconsin relied on their starters so much offensively. I think it's a theme we'll see all year. There aren't that many guys that are bucket getters in this team, Ben, but the bucket getters that we knew coming in are performing.
Oh, yeah, and it's a team-wide starter thing. When that unit's on the court, everyone seems to be clicking at the same time. And we've seen it in other games, but at that second half of the game, we really saw it. Jonathan Davis, some of his buckets were open looks, but some of them, I mean, they're just tough, in traffic, NBA-type buckets, in the paint, step backs. His game is so multifaceted that he can operate as part of your, you know, traditional swing offense, or as someone said after the game, give him the ball, get the F out of the way, and let him go get a bucket. So when you have that, that opens up everything for people. But Davison, is him being that pretty significant offensive threat is unbelievably significant to this team's success. Because even not if Davis has an off night, but if they put more pressure on him defensively, if Davison is able to consistently hit from behind the arc, that just adds so much more threat. And then you have Chucky Hepburn as well, who maybe if it doesn't happen on offense, that dude is just so in control and so solid pretty much in every facet of the game that in the entire starting unit, they all give you something really different, but together it works so well. You have that, as we mentioned, Tyler Wall's kind of weird offense at times, but effective. We saw him go off late in the game in one of the Maui Las Vegas games. And then Crowell, I mean, I think this is one of the best games he's played. He's been, you know, up and down to start the season. But someone also said after the game that they told him to stop being soft and playing. And I mean, he was confident in there and having that big guy that can also score, maybe knock one shot down a game. It's all different from the starting unit, but together it's a really impressive unit.
You know, Ben, one of the things with young players sometimes when you're evaluating prospects, and this isn't as much as like watching a game and focusing on a team or focusing on why a team won. It's more of the individual at the individual level. One of the things you notice with certain guys is they're a bit risk averse with what they want to do. They don't want to go out of their comfort zone because they don't want to mess up, right? Like it's like when you're at a tryout in middle school or high school and you're kind of playing very tight and it's because you don't want to make a mistake or something. You know what I'm talking about? Or you don't get many minutes maybe and you're coming off the bench and you have like 3 minutes in the game. You don't want to make a mistake. You don't want to mess up. So you don't actually play well. You end up making some mistakes because you're so tight. You don't want to turn the ball over. You don't want to make a risky pass. You don't want to take a risky shot, whatever. Steven Crowell a little bit has that, in my opinion. He doesn't want to make the risky pass. He doesn't want to sometimes take matters into his own hands. And one way to describe it, I guess, is soft. But I don't know if that's what I would say about him at all. I don't think I describe him that way at all. I would describe it more as he's afraid to mess up sometimes. And yeah, I think that as his processing speed gets faster and as he's like, all right, like I'm going to make that read. And if it works, it works. Awesome. Then I think he becomes a much better player. And I think that we saw a little bit of that in this game. I think he was making quick decisions early, took some pick and pop threes without hesitation, wasn't thinking about them, let them fly. Chucky had a beautiful behind the back pass, drew two defenders, rejected the screen from Crowell and then kind of flipped it behind him for a Crowell three. That was an awesome sequence to watch. But I think that he had his best game of the year. I would agree with you. His most impressive game of the year up against very athletic bigs of Marquette and strong bigs for Marquette. Not necessarily like true bigs. They don't have like those true Kofis, right? Or back to the basket bigs that are going to pound you on offense. But defensively, I mean, they got some guys that can cause problems for them. Justin Lewis is really long, 6'7", but has the length. Kirkwath, 6'10". So they got some big, long guys, and I thought he did a really good job against them. But yeah, Johnny Davis's degree of difficulty on some of these makes. The floaters,
ridiculous.
Like those weird floaters in the lane where you think he's off balance, but he isn't. Like, he's perfectly on balance at all times. His dexterity, like his lower body dexterity, is crazy.
That's a word.
He's like, it looks like, you know what it looks like? You know those
Art Mel Kiper.
Actually, hoverboards, I think they might be called hoverboards, but they're those like skateboards with like one big wheel in the middle and you're like balancing on them to ride.
No, but continue. Not?
They're like longboards, okay?
No, I'm stuck on the use of dexterity.
And you look and you always look off balance on him. That's kind of how he looks, but like he still rides it. Like he's still riding the wave. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like a surfer getting up, looking out of balance, but they're still riding that wave perfectly. And that's what he does.
Dexterity.
He's a freaking superstar, man. And he's a superstar on defense. That's my other favorite thing about him that we don't even talk about enough. I'll be honest. I don't think we talk about it enough, just how great his offense has been. His defense has been just as good all year long. His defense against Georgia Tech, against DeVoe, we talked about on this show, Ben. That was electric. And talk about defense. You talked about Chucky. That's why he earned Big Ten Freshman of the Week right there.
I mean, it's defense. And he's also, it seems like every time he has the ball, he makes the right decision. And there's no way to quantify that. But when you're watching it, you know. You know when there are guys that, not that they're out of control, but that sometimes don't make the right decision with the basketball. That's not Chucky. And it's crazy because he's a true freshman. And it seems like he's in control in every facet of the game. Every time he has the ball's going to the right spot. Either he shoots it, he gives it up, the offense runs. So for a guy that young, it's frankly ridiculous.
You listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge, specifically Locked On Badgers for the power of Wisconsin basketball knowledge. You
dexterity.
To Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line and a free 5G phone when you switch to Boost Mobile. So you can get the latest Locked On Badger episodes at the fastest speeds, all on one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers coverage not available everywhere for all phones or networks, but see boostmobile.com for details. Today's episode is also brought to you by Prize Picks, a leader in college sports daily fantasy, offering more props than anyone in the world and offering all the players of the Power 5 as well as mid-major guys you might not have ever heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage, touchdowns, points, rebounds, assists, whatever the sport is, Prize Picks probably has it there. All of the users that deposit and use the promo code LOCKEDON will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Locked On, 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You can play Prize Picks either on the app, on the App Store or Google Play, or at prizepicks.com. Safe and fast withdrawals of your money. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. PrizePicks.com, promo code locked on. Ben, I do want to, as we finish up the Marquette game, I want to talk a little bit about expectations in a different way, because I think Jim Polzin had a really good piece today in the Wisconsin State Journal that I want to touch on and that I agree with. And then I want to get into Indiana. But finishing up Marquette, any other notes?
There's one piece of the game that we have to talk about. Not that it hindered the team much, because they obviously came away with an impressive home win. But moving forward, when we get into Big Ten play, we're going to see it against Indiana. The bench is going to be something that we're going to be watching. They're going to need to round into form, because it felt like whenever Davison and Hepburn were on the bench and were not on the court, you kind of were surviving those minutes. And great teams, you have the bench that can come in, hold water, stay, just tread where you're at for your starters that are playing great to come back in. We talked about it on radio today a little bit, but one of the guys that I think is going to need to step up is Ben Carlson. We know he's a former four-star recruit, but when you look at that bench unit, right, Lauren Bowman is a freshman. He's young. He obviously has a lot of room to grow, and he could be a big factor off the bench, but I don't know if we can expect him to really round into that form quickly. And when you look up and down the guys that are coming in, Vogt, mostly a defensive presence. Carlson is one of the guys I look at as, you know, it's for this team to become more complete and to get better and to be able to beat teams that are better than them. They're going to need a guy like Ben Carlson to step up, start rounding into form defensively, offensively, to really become a weapon. Because right now, like if they go to play a Purdue or a Michigan, even no matter how well the starters play, when the bench unit comes in, I have no confidence they can keep whatever lead or keep them in the game. So that's the one thing I think we could look at the Marquette game in kind of a critical eye.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin got really, really hot in the second half. Like, this game probably should have been closer than 13. I think it deserved to be. Wisconsin got really, really hot in that second half. Yes, they got great shots, but they also felt like didn't miss for about 5 minutes there. And that extended the lead from what actually was a Marquette lead early in that half, a 2-point Marquette lead, all the way out to a 15-point Wisconsin lead in literally 8 minutes. And like I said, the Badgers just didn't miss. They converted on nearly every single offensive possession they had, and a lot of them were jumpers. So you can't really rely on that necessarily carrying over to every single night, and it won't. But Ben, here's the thing I've seen with this team that does make me pretty confident heading into Big Ten play, and not uber confident. They're not going to win the conference. They're not going to finish top three, in my opinion, in the conference. But what makes me feel confident about a top five, top six finish and a very clear NCAA tournament berth is this. They've won six in a row now, okay? We've seen them get these wins in very different ways, and that is what makes me most confident. Or actually, I think it's been five in a row. I keep saying six. But these five wins, they've come in very, very different fashions. You have the Texas A&M win where they showed us they can fall behind early and they have the offense to come back and win. Fell behind by double digits in that game. How many games last year did Wisconsin fall behind in double digits and come back to win?
I can't name a single one. Scientifically, probably zero.
I can't name a single one. I'm sure there probably was one, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. Number two, they showed us against St. Mary's, Ben, and the Houston game was like a tale of two halves, kind of a hard one to evaluate in terms of this scenario. But the St. Mary's game, they showed us they can win a defensive battle, a clutch situation at the end, a very disciplined St. Mary's team that's not going to beat themselves, and they can win playing like traditional Wisconsin basketball. Georgia Tech, they showed us that they can win in a hostile road environment, right, against a guy going off, because they have the defense at the end and enough offense individually to go get those wins. And then Marquette, they won this game with their offense. And that's something we barely said all year last year. They won this game with a 55-point second half against a good Marquette team, a team that's 7-1 coming into this game, and a team that, frankly, has exceeded expectations so far. They beat Illinois, yes, without Kofi, but they've exceeded expectations for sure. It's been impressive. It's been a variety of types of wins, and I think it does carry over into Big Ten play somewhat.
Yeah, I do agree. Also, that Georgia Tech game, that's defense as well. Defense does travel on the road with you normally, but they had an 8-minute scoring drought in that first half. Marquette only was able to bring a lead to like 6 or 7, which is pretty remarkable if you go pretty much half of a half without scoring a bucket. But yeah, I'm with you. When they play Indiana on Wednesday, I'm interested to see first how Greggard uses the bench and whether he really has his starters playing insane minutes, or whether guys on the bench can, you know, start becoming weapons and give Davis and those guys valuable rest. It's the one thing it's crazy to say, but it's the biggest thing that I am looking at with a critical eye so far. I wouldn't call it a problem, but in terms of where they're going and where they can improve, that's what I would point to. But I'm with you.
I want to talk about that Indiana game because I think it's actually maybe the most interesting Big Ten opponent they'll have.
I'm going to be there.
You're going to go?
I'm going to go.
Amazing. I'm jealous.
Got some tickets.
I'm very jealous.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a great time. It's going to be a game, and I'm going to talk about it in a sec, and we're going to break it down. I also want to talk a little bit about what Polzin was saying today in the Wisconsin State Journal to close it out. But today's episode, Ben, is brought to you by OmahaSteaks.com, the perfect holiday gift for the meat lovers in your family. A gift guaranteed to be loved, because what is not to be loved about bacon-wrapped filet mignon, about boneless chicken breast, Omaha steak burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, scalloped potatoes, caramel apple tarts, signature Omaha steak seasoning, and free 8 Omaha steak burgers. All of that I just mentioned, Ben, is included for $99.99 in the perfect gift package. All the best plays, all the classics from Omaha Steaks in one perfect gift. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter college in the search bar to find that perfect gift package. You'll get 24 entrees like the world famous bacon wrapped filet mignon. When you use code college, you'll also get an 8 additional Omaha Steak burgers for free with that order. Head to omahasteaks.com right now, omahasteaks.com. Closing out the episode today, we get into Indiana. But first, the Wisconsin State Journal reporter, Jim Polzin, the man himself, veteran Wisconsin basketball reporter, had an article today what's up?
And famous for ref tweets, writer that tells us who is officiating every game so we can look out for someone.
Famous for ref tweets, had a really good column today on Madison.com in the Wisconsin State Journal, where he said that excited Wisconsin basketball fans, Ben, should tap the brakes for now. And I understand the sentiment, because it's hard to manage expectations when you have a team that came into the year, maybe they're making the tournament. I don't know. I'm going like 70-30. No, they'll probably be on the bubble. They'll probably fall short. They're picked 11th in the conference. They're picked 10th, 12th, whatever you put them. That's fair. They're a bottom tier team. They have young guys. We don't know what they are. Are they going to be able to score the ball? Who the heck is going to take steps forward outside of Johnny? What's going to be the deal with this team offensively? Their identity, all of that stuff. Who's even going to play? What's the rotation? All these questions, valid concerns. Fast forward, 7-1. We're talking about them in this way. They've won games that are already extremely impressive wins, and wins that I think will get them into the tournament. Houston, St. Mary's, Marquette at Georgia Tech. But pump the brakes a little bit, because all of a sudden, if we're thinking, this team is going to run the table, they're going to ball out in the Big Ten. No. There will be, as Jim said in this article, peaks and valleys in the Big Ten. There will be highs and lows for sure. There are going to be 2-game losses. There are going to be 3-game streaks maybe where they lose 3 in a row. Could happen for sure in conference play. There's also going to be good moments. I'm pretty confident about that after watching the first 8 games. But we can't let the start bias us towards the end, because if they end up like 7th or 8th in the Big Ten, that should be a win. And they end up comfortably in the tournament, that still is a win for this team, no matter how they started.
Yeah, I do agree. And expectations have definitely risen, but they cannot rise too high. And when you think about it, they're going into conference play in a conference that has the most unbelievably dominant big men in the country. And yet probably the one thing that they're going to struggle with the most is defending that star big man. You definitely have to look at each game with the context. But that also all goes with saying that, like this start, it's going to be impossible to quantify how valuable it is teaching them how to win different ways and giving them confidence going into a late game stretch with 2 minutes left when it's a close game. These wins are ones that are building blocks for those. But I'm with you. That kind of makes this all more interesting as well. You know what I mean? Instead of it being a team with crazy high expectations that maybe underperforms a little bit, but is okay, and you expect it all to happen, instead for it to happen this way, I think it's more interesting when you start low and then you go crazy high, and it's going to even out a little bit, but it's going to do it, I think, in a really fun and interesting way. And then once they get one or two big wins at home, that's what they need for the tournament.
Ben, Wisconsin was a 5 seed today in bracketology. Five.
Whoa. What were they last year?
They were an 8 last year. Was it an 8 or a 9?
No, a 9. A nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They played in the 8-9 game. They were a 9. Beat North Carolina, lost to Baylor, of course. But a 5 seed?
Yeah.
Based on where we started this year, a 5 seed? That would be something. Indiana, you're going to the game.
Which?
You're going to see
quickly, five
the best
seed
player in the Big Ten.
Credit to Greg Gard. Before you go into Trace Jackson Davis, credit to Greg Gard. He's done a pretty great job so far with this team.
Actually, you know what? You brought that up. Maybe I do have to segue for a sec because I did have a tweet out that I want to kind of harp on in terms of the point I was making. Have you noticed the difference in Greg Gard's demeanor this year?
I have.
On the sidelines? Because I think it's pretty clear. Like, it's really obvious that he is trying to be more animated to amp his guys up. And he's never going to be – listen, like, he's not – trying to give a good example. I was about to say a WCC example, but see, nobody's going to get that, so it doesn't mean anything.
Bob Huggins.
I was going to say Stan Johnson at LMU, but, like, that doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Couldn't tell you.
LMU? Who's like a popular – he's not Frank Martin, okay? Remember Frank Martin's psycho days on Kansas State sideline with, like, Michael Beasley? Maybe go ballistic. You know what I'm talking about? South Carolina Final Four, Frank Martin. Like, notorious psycho on the sidelines. That's not what Greg Gard is going to be. That's not what we're asking him to be. But I think he was a little too reserved in some ways in terms of high energy moments and pressure. And I love they had a wired, like where they like mic'd him up during the Marquette game. And he was like sarcastically getting angry about, I think they were saying, we're going to go under and then we're going to switch is what he was saying. I think it's something along those lines. He was talking about pick and roll coverage. And he was like looking at them. He's like, we're going under and we're going to switch. Is that clear enough? We're going under and we're going to switch. Do I need to make that any more clear? And they're all like, no. Do I need to make that any more clear? I loved it. And I've loved the sideline reactions from Gard this year. I've loved his animation on the sideline. And bench energy doesn't mean as much, guys, when there's a full crowd there. So I'm not talking about it this year because it doesn't actually matter as much as it did. Indiana basketball, Ben. Trace Jackson Davis, the best player in the Big Ten, in my opinion, coming into the year. And I think that along with Jaden Ivey and along with some other guys you could throw in that mix, but I do think it's TJD. In terms of the college basketball player,
Hunter Dickinson's left hand.
Nope, not putting him in the mix. I do think
only the left side.
Fine. If we're counting left hands, I still take TJD. Anyway, another lefty we're talking about here. But Trace Jackson Davis, Nebraska and Indiana open conference play for them. A win for Indiana, a 13-point win at home against the Cornhuskers, a team that's struggled in their own right this year. Trace Jackson Davis had 14-7. Indiana shooting the ball a little better than they were last year, which is saying absolutely nothing. But I'm not surprised by that. The lone loss, Syracuse, Ben, in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That's a road game at the Carrier Dome. Not an easy place to play. And they almost came away with a win. It was an overtime game and a really impressive battle back from Indiana. They were down 16 at halftime of that game. Could easily have folded, Ben, against the 2-3 zone. But they outscored Syracuse by 16 in that second half, tied the game, and almost came all the way back to win it at one point. This is a really tough matchup for Wisconsin. And after the beginning of the year, we thought Indiana would be clearly higher than the Badgers. I think people are now all of a sudden expecting them to be around the same level in the Big Ten Conference. 2-7-1 teams going head-to-head. This is a really tough matchup, though. And one I actually think Indiana wins. Now, Trace Jackson Davis is the tailor-made problem for this Wisconsin team. A really underrated passer, in my opinion, but he also has Race Thompson next to him, who's a very good passer, but an athletic role threat. A monster in that 8 to 10 foot area where he just breaks you down. Not a back to the basket guy, but above the rim, Wisconsin doesn't have a true matchup for him. And I think, Ben, what we want Ben Carlson to become could end up like one day being the matchup for a guy like this. He's just not there yet. But in terms of the guys that are going to play, I don't really see where Wisconsin goes successfully against TJD. And I'd love to see Johnny get a chance. I don't think it's going to be Johnny just because of the size difference, obviously, but wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. That's all I'm going to say. Wouldn't be the craziest thing.
It's interesting. I just don't think
Crowell is equipped for it.
Right. That's interesting because it not that it'll give us a blueprint on what's going to happen the rest of the year, but it's their first big conference test with the big man. So I am interested to see what guard does, because I kind of want to see something that he does that is different than something conventional, or maybe an adjustment. You know what I mean? To kind of show us going forward in the year, let's say this thing doesn't work, does he have a bag of tricks to throw at the conference's best players to try to slow him down? Because I'm confident in Wisconsin on offense being fine, especially at home. But yeah, it's what can they do against him? And I'm looking to the head coach a bit for if there's like, if say Johnny's on him and it works, then obviously he's pushed the right button and why change it? But if something doesn't work, what does he do to change and what does he do to try to mix it up?
So a little bit on Indiana outside of just TJD this year. The reason this team is harder to guard and why TJD is harder to guard this year than he was last year, Ben, is because you can't just pack it in on him anymore. You can't just say, hey, Indiana's guards, make a three and we'll lose, but you're not going to make a three. And that's what happened all year last year. Teams collapsing on him, doubling him in the post, just building a complete wall when he drove. It was like the Giannis defense almost, like years ago in the playoffs, the wall defense a little bit. You would double him in the post touches for sure, but he just also didn't have guards that really got him the ball effectively, because he's a type of guy that needs a good guard next to him. Otherwise, he's not that effective, right? Like he doesn't take the ball up himself. He's not exactly like a point forward type of guy at all. He's not a perimeter guy at all. He's not a three-point shooter. So he kind of needs guards to feed him. And this year, the difference is that they have Miller Kopp. They have Parker Stewart, two guys that can knock down the three-ball, Ben, at a very high rate of efficiency, and two guys that have been knocking it down from three. You have Xavier Johnson, who is not the maybe level of three-point threat that those two guys are, not a three-point shooter, but a guy that can once again be a problem on the closeout, a guy that can actually score the basketball. And that was Indiana's problem. They just didn't have enough guys that you respected offensively at all. And Race Thompson's been really good this year. And he's a really good pairing with Trayce Jackson-Davis, a guy that's been around now for 3 years, doesn't take bad shots, doesn't play out of himself, an underrated passer. I think the best passer on the team is actually Race Thompson, not a guard from what I've watched. He picked apart the Syracuse zone with his passing. It was really him, in my opinion, that helped bring them back in the second half of that Syracuse game, Ben, a game that, like I said, they almost won in overtime. And Race actually had 8 assists. He was 2 assists shy from a triple-double in that game. So he is, in some ways, just as scary as Trayce Jackson-Davis, because if you focus in on him, the big-to-big passing can be awesome between those two. Trayce Jackson-Davis, less of a passer than Race, but you get the idea. Dangerous team offensively. And like I said, I think one tailor-made to beat Wisconsin and their defensive attack. The question is, can Wisconsin be as efficient as they've been offensively all year long? And if the answer is yes, they can still absolutely win this game, even if TJD goes off, even if the Indiana Hoosiers hit shots.
Yeah, I mean, Brad Davison could do that whole thing, you know, where he goes for 32, has a bunch of late charges.
Well, we've already had one of those.
And then we've already had one, but who knows?
A 20-point game to follow it up, which doesn't usually happen with those. So maybe
it's
changing.
I'm not going to say it. I guess I'll ask it. I mean, could this be the new norm? Could this be 2021 Brad Davison?
All right. I am not going to answer that question, Ben, because I
joke.
Wisconsin fans would love the answer. So that is the end of today's episode right there.
I have one public service announcement quickly. The Heisman finalists were announced: Dasher, Aiden Hutchinson, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Kenny Pickett. There is an absolute snubbing of massive proportions, and it is not Kenneth Walker, even though he should have made it as well. Asher, Will Anderson is the best player on Alabama, outside linebacker, and he did not make it, while their quarterback did. He has twice as many tackle for loss as Hutchinson this year, more sacks. He led the nation in like everything. I would argue the best player in the country. Didn't make it to New York. The system's broken. They should have 5. JT should have made it. I'm still bitter.
I think people just didn't watch Bryce Young all year. Like, he had a lot of bad games.
Plus, it's just the who's the flashy quarterback on the best team award.
I mean, he was insane against Georgia, but like
Bryce Young isn't the best player on his own team.
Wasn't he like, am I wrong that he was like bad for like 5 of their games this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He struggled.
Like, is that a Heisman QB?
No, he really shouldn't be. And frankly, I don't think CJ Stroud should either.
No, I agree with that. I agree with
that. I could throw for 5,000 yards with those receivers.
That I don't agree with. As always, on Wisconsin, we will see you on Wednesday.